welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
As we go forward today, we're going to be continuing on in a series that we've been on, basically just a love of God series, looking at the love of God. You know, it's like a diamond that has many facets. You can look at a diamond, but you look at it from different angles, and it's just beautiful in different ways. And so we're going to take another look at the facet of the beautiful diamond of God's love this morning from another angle. 1 John 4:18, this is the same verse in a few different translations. It says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." The Message says, "There's no room in love for fear. Well-informed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love." The Amplified, "There's no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection." And finally, the New Living says, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love." So here, as we're talking about the love of God and the amazing aspect of his love, is we see this characteristic of God's love. When you're in the presence of God's perfect love, there's no fear. In fact, it's quite a conclusion that the Scripture comes to. And the Holy Spirit's brought me back to this many times. But just that simple, and this is the first New King James, I'm looking at the top there. It just says, you know, perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. There is something about a connection, a relationship between fear and love. Now, when you think of love and you think of Christian love, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, you might not think of or characterize that love as something that has no tolerance for fear. Perfect love has zero tolerance for fear. It just doesn't exist. It's not there. They're not compatible. God is not afraid. God is love. And as we look at this idea, this concept, when we think of somebody who has dealing with fear, the Bible basically says if you're dealing with fear, there's basically a maturity in love issue. It's kind of an interesting thought. If you're perfect in love, if you're perfected in love, there's no fear there, which is an interesting relationship between fear and love. We think of somebody in this world who's fearless, the way it might be depicted or portrayed, Hollywood movies, it's going to be somebody who's tough, maybe chip on the shoulder, a snarl, an attitude, courageous, don't mess with me. That's very different than the way God depicts somebody who's fearless. It's somebody who's perfected in love. Completely different. Completely different role model for what it looks like to be truly free from fear. This is powerful. And this is an amazing truth that we're going to just really explore, in a sense, that relationship between God's love and fear. And the title of the message this morning is God's Love Expels All Fear. How does that work? How does it work that love casts out all fear. In other words, if I'm dealing with fear, I have torment. Fear has torment. I'm in fear. I'm in torment. I want the torment to stop. I want the fear to stop. And what's the classic phrase and thing that we hear all the time is you've got to face your fear. Really, though, is that what we're supposed to face? Or do we face perfect love? Do we face the love to cast out the fear? We're going to look at basically two aspects this morning. Facing perfect love to work through things. There's some things that we do here as we get free from fear. But the first thing that we're having to do is we're having to change a direction from fear to love. I got this complicated problem that I'm trying to figure out. But instead of trying to figure it out, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm going to turn and in a general sense begin to face love. Now that's intellectually humbling to do that. But there's an answer here. In other words, I'm not trying to problem solve in the dark. I'm going to first turn on the light and then see what I need to see. Do we do this already? We do it already when we talk about getting victory over the flesh, right? I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you wish. And then Colossians says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You don't hear people say, if you want to beat the flesh, you got to face the flesh. I'm going to sit in front of the thing that has me to beat it. No, you're just going to get seduced by it and be in bondage to it. Same with fear. When you walk in the Spirit, it changes the dynamic. It changes the subject. It changes the direction of your heart to where you're plugged into life and you can get victory over the flesh. Same with fear. I'm not trying to problem solve fear. Now, there is permission, the same way I have with the flesh, to turn and to face perfect love. Because if my freedom from this is over here, then I need to be over here. I'm going to work through some things. I'm going to face perfect love, and I'm going to be doing some things in the face of perfect love by faith, knowing that there's deliverance from the torment over here. You're walking by faith, not by sight. First thing is that simply that change of direction. We have permission when it comes to getting victory over the flesh to walk in the Spirit. We also have permission in the face of fear to begin to turn to perfect and face perfect love. In the face of fear, I'm turning to the face of love. Let's take a look at another scripture along these lines. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying out of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does he say first? He says, stir up. He said, don't be afraid, young Timothy, Pastor Timothy. It could be fear of rejection, fear of death, fear of persecution. There's a bunch of stuff going on back then. This is Nero time. He had a lot of cause and a lot of reasons to be afraid. And what did he say? He said, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the Holy Spirit. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but when you're stirring up the gift of God, you're stirring up power. You're stirring up love. You're stirring up a sound mind. You're stirring up the love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You're stirring things up. When you begin to stir up the love of God and stir up the Spirit of God, things begin to change. When you stir up the power and the Spirit and the love of God in your heart, there are things that you can forgive from here that you can't forgive from here when you're problem solving in the dark. But when there is a change, I'm facing perfect love. I'm just changing the subject to God. I'm changing the subject to His love. I have permission to do that. I have permission to not only not be afraid, but to stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of me. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now get this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Carnal mindedness is a place. Spiritual mindedness is a place. Getting free from fear doesn't start with solving the reason and getting people to line up so you're not afraid anymore. Getting free from fear starts from moving from a place of carnal mindedness to a place of spiritual mindedness. When you're in carnal mindedness, you think and you reason and you surmise from a place of darkness. When you move over into spiritual mindedness, you begin to compare spiritual with spiritual, and you think and you reason and you get things by the Spirit of God. You can't get over there. And when you're over here, I know this might sound kind of weird, but when you're over here, and maybe you are carnally minded, something does stir you up. It's easy to get jaded spiritually. You know, you technically know better, but you're over here, and it's like, I want to stop, and I know I should do better, but I just can't seem to stop things. I can't seem to stop. I'm not subject to the Word of God, and I just can't seem to be. It's like I don't have willpower over here. Don't take it personal. You're just carnally minded. That's all. You'll find that when you by faith begin to set your mind on things, this is kind of the working through stuff. All right, I'm in a place that I can't stop it. It's like, okay, and this is why we need the Word of God, don't we, right? The Word of God is like the big mall map sign that says you are here. And when I'm in a place I just can't, I feel, I'm jaded, and you know, all of a sudden, okay, well, I'm just carnally minded. Yep. I'm reasoning and thinking like a carnally minded person. And anybody, I don't care who you are, I don't care how long you've known the Lord, you can slip easily back into this. And so it's something we need to be aware of, humbly aware of, that no matter who you are, we can fall into that, and we need to begin to change where we're setting our mind. In other words, my goal in getting, you know, that perfect love that casts out all fear is I got to just get from a place of carnal mindedness to that place of spiritual mindedness. I got to begin to face perfect love. All right? That's where I'm going. And so as we look at this, I want to begin to relook at some things, relook at some scriptures as it relates back to what John first says. Because when we look at what that scripture we read, we're going to read it and then we're going to keep reading. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now we can read that and go, ugh. But this is where we're facing perfect love. We're not glossing over it. We're not skipping on to the next verse. We're facing perfect love. We're facing it. There's something about looking in the Word of God and beholding the Word of God that has a mirror-like effect. It has an amazing ability to reflect on you and teach you and instruct you. If someone says, I love God, hates his brother, and we can all think of that someone or that person or that situation or whatever that is, okay? You think, that them too? You know? But I can tell you what this, if you give an exception to them too, there's a lot of other problems there too. There's a lot of other bondages there too. There's a lot of other things. We pay a high price when we attempt to justify, rationalize, and spiritualize our Christian bitterness. This is our time. This is our chance. We're here. We got the Word. We can face perfect love. But I can't. You can't. You need God, don't you? Yeah. These scriptures are meant to draw us to a dependence on God. This is not a religion that we're trying to do from ourselves to please God. This is a faith in Christ that we need his love to serve him with. We need his grace. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, you can't forgive. But through him, you can do all things. You can forgive all things. Again, there's things you can do here that you can't do over there. There's moving from a place. Someone says, I love God, hates his brother. Now, instead of saying this thing and thinking of that person, you know, think of it different. This is where the torment stops. This is where love is perfected. He has not been made perfect in love. He's not fully matured in love. All right? There's a spectrum of the maturity of love. We're all on there somewhere, okay? But no matter where you are on that spectrum, we can always grow more in our maturing in love, our revelation of love, receiving God's love and giving God's love. And so as we look at this, we see that, man, okay, when God is telling me this, this is the commandment. You love God, you must love your brother also. He's not saying this to put a hard religious bondage on you. He's saying this to let us know this is where we mature into a love that is free from fear. Because when you can look at that and read that and there's no person that triggers you anymore, you have no fear. When you can say that and read that and there's no yeah, but exception, your heart is clear and free, you're free. There's something about when you begin to look and face, not your fear yet, face perfect love. What does it look like? What does God say about it? John, I don't have this scripture up here, but again, this is something John said earlier in 1 John 2. He says, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This is why we need perfect love. Perfect love turns on the light. Over here, we're guessing. We're trying. We're stumbling around in a bitterness and a hatred and all that kind of stuff. And what God is saying, it isn't about, I'm a good person, I forgive, I'm a bad person, I don't forgive. You're a born-again child of God with a capacity, with God's love on the inside of you, to be able to forgive. But you're not going to find that capacity facing the fear. You're going to find it facing his love. Growing and maturing in that love. And so let's take a look at it. Let's take a look. Is it really what it sounds like? Yeah, and then some. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise in the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Boy, you can see the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a facing of perfect love. In other words, there's an answer to fear in love. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, Lord, wow, this is your heart. I'm not going to allow my mind to just tilt and go on. I'm going to face perfect love. I'm going to say, Lord, this is the way you want me to be. It would be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for these words to pass away. This is your desire for me, Lord. Lord, I want to be this person. I want to love. I want to do good. I'm going to have to get outside of myself. And this is, again, what are we doing? We're setting our mind on things above. We're stirring ourselves up in the Holy Spirit, like what we did this morning, worshiping God. You might be dealing with the fear, and the Spirit of God just says, you need to come over here and just get stirred up. You need to start worshiping. You need to start getting your heart and your mind set on things above. Because when you're there, then you begin to hear the word of God and begin to see, Lord, this is the way I want to be. This is the way I want to live. Because here's the deal. And this is why, here's technically why it works. We accept it by faith, but here's technically a big part of it. Fear, many times, is a very subtle form, or can creep into a very subtle form, a license for self-centeredness. My fear, my issue, my problem, my world, I'm the good guy, everybody else is the bad guy. It can pull you into a world of self-seeking. And that's where we've read about so many times in James chapter 3, where if you have strife and self-seeking in your heart, glory not, this wisdom doesn't come from above. It's confusion, and every evil work is there. And in this environment of fear, it's an environment of self-centeredness, self-seeking. What does this do? This breaks it. If you're going to love your neighbor, if you're going to hate your enemy, if you're going to bless, if you're going to do good to people who hate you, it's not just that you're doing good to people who hate you. It's not just that you're praying for somebody who's mean to you. It's taking your mind off you and putting it on somebody else. All of a sudden, I'm not the center of my world anymore. Somebody else is. Somebody else's issue is. Somebody else's concerns are. Now I have a new center. I'm praying. I'm blessing. I'm doing good. There is a deliverance in this that happens, because it causes the center to change, where all of a sudden now I'm looking at somebody else, and it's different now. Praise God. You know, there was a movie that came out years ago called Groundhog Day, okay? It was an old comedy, and maybe many times you might hear of Groundhog Day, and you just think, oh, it's the same day repeating over and over again, right? Yeah, that's where it came from, that movie. And it's hard to think, it's about 30 years ago, but sorry about that. But anyway, you just basically, you got this very narcissistic, self-centered, egotistical weatherman guy who just has visions of being the world's greatest newscaster. You know, and he has to go through this little ritual every year. He's got to go to Puxatony and be a part of this Groundhog Day festival, this little hick town that he just can't hardly wait to get out of. And he's, you know, almost ashamed and embarrassed that he's got to do it every year. So he's going, he's doing his little deal, and he does the whole segment, the whole news segment, and he's sarcastic when he does it. And as it turns out, there's this snowstorm. He gets snowed in, and but the thing of it is that, you know, it's probably the worst day of his life, and he wakes up the next morning, and he's right back, and it's Groundhog Day all over again. The song on the radio is playing exactly the way it did the day before. It's identical. He's ending up reliving the same day over and over again, this day that he hates, this thing that he just despises, and he's got to live it over. And it's interesting when you begin to see, you see the cycles that he goes through, because he's in this, he's trapped, and he's thinking, this is weird, this is strange. But then he realizes it's for real. And then, you know, just to kind of see how the human, I think, you know, I'm not endorsing the movie. I'm not saying go out and watch it. There's obviously, it's a Hollywood movie. There's some, you know, there's Hollywood stuff in there. There's, you know, that in fact, to develop his character early on, there is some stuff in there. But I'm not endorsing it as far as everything that's going on in the movie. I'm just talking about it allegorically, okay? High level, 30,000 feet, guys. Don't watch it and say, Pastor Eddie, no, don't. Have some grace and mercy. You understand here. This is high level. But allegorically speaking, you know, as he's kind of going through this, it's like, I just can't believe it. I'm trapped. I can't get out of here. And then all of a sudden, he gets the revelation that, wow, that means there's no consequences. That means I can do whatever I want to do. And I'm going to wake up the next day. And sure enough, and this is kind of where he kind of does the flesh stuff and all that kind of stuff, just trying to enjoy and get away with everything that he can do, because no matter what he does, and then you can think of the works of the flesh, you can do that whole spectrum of the works of the flesh, and every day he gets up. But something interesting happens. He gets sick of that stuff. He just doesn't like it anymore. He wants something that's real. He wants something, you know, something that has meaning or something that has purpose. And then as he's going on, all of a sudden, you know, he tries to, tries to find his happiness in that stuff. And he realizes he can't. So then he goes to the other extreme, of depression and darkness. And now he's trying to, you know, he finally decides, this is it. I can't handle it. I'm taking my life. And so he takes his life and he wakes up and he's still right there. He can't even take his own life. And so he tries that a bunch of times. And so no matter what he does, he's got this, you know, extreme pleasure in getting wherever you want and then extreme dark depression. But no matter what, he keeps waking up in the same place. Nothing is working. He is trapped. And then all of a sudden in the movie, something happens. Because you're watching him repeat the same day over and over again. You're kind of watching this series of events. This old man who's hungry gets his attention. And he just thinks, man, he kind of walks by. All of a sudden he thinks, I want to give him, maybe give him something to eat, you know. And he goes to give him something. And that night he feeds him, but that night the old man dies. And so he's reliving this day and he's trying to get this old man to live. But he can't. And the nurse said, you know, sometimes it's just people's time. But then he goes around helping other people. Just saying, okay, well, you know, whether it's a little kid falling out of a tree or some ladies, you know, by the side of the road, or all of a sudden his life just takes on. It's not about even trying to get out of that day anymore. It's about helping people and just this whole demeanor. You see this guy who starts out really sleazy, turning in. It's a little bit like a Christmas Carol kind of a thing. Turning in to this guy who's finding the joy and the happiness in just helping others. And it's like, wow, there's this change that's going, this transformation that's going on in him. But there was something that happened in him to where all of a sudden he was not the center of his world anymore. He began to give. He began to do things. So he was getting up every day to catch the same kid falling out of the tree, to help the same old ladies, to do the same old thing. But that's where he found purpose. That's where he found joy. That's where he found satisfaction. And then one day he woke up. And it was the next day. But there was something that happened first. And that's the way it is with fear. You can be, you know, in fear. What are we talking? We're talking about working through some stuff. We're talking about changing the way we think, forgiving on purpose, being intentional. Is God really expecting that out of us, to love like he loves? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us. Now, as you're looking at this, think of this in the broader context of perfecting love and being free from all fear and from all torment. This is how I'm getting free, through love. We're seeing the bigger agenda of love. When you see the end times and Jesus talking about stuff before he left, he mentioned four things. He said, love one another. Love one another. Abide in me. My word's abiding in you. Pray and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. These are four powerful elements that is going to be part of who we are in these last days. And when you're operating in a place where you got no fear, really no, I'm not talking about a show, I'm talking about in your heart, you're clear before God. And you're not afraid of any man because you've forgiven them. Nothing they can do about it. You're free. You're free on your terms, on God's terms. The more rooted and grounded you are, the more God can work through you in power and you stay grounded. The less rooted and grounded in love you are, the less power you can have and handle. There's things that God is doing in us, not just to get free from fear, but to prepare us for good works he's ordained us to walk in. Love is huge. You know, sometimes you can hear people talk about winning the lottery. If I win the lottery, I'll do this and this and this, and I would just be the most magnanimous person and da-da-da-da-da. And yet, I don't know, 90% of them corrupted and breaks up relationships. It has a corrupting effect, that power. In other words, your good intentions are not what dictate the kind of power that can work and flow through you. The love of Jesus Christ, the rooting and the grounding in him, God is growing us up in love because he wants to do other things through us too. There's other things that are going to come forward in that. You know, we see Corinthians talks about, man, you got the gifts and power and prophecy and all that kind of stuff. He said, faith, hope, and love remain. The greatest is love. And then it goes on to say, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So it's not like a competition. And love won, so we don't have to deal with spiritual gifts anymore. No. But love goes out ahead of those spiritual gifts in a powerful way. We're pursuing love this morning. We're pursuing it. We're being intentional about it. There is a perfecting, there is a growing up in Him that happens as we face that love. We face that perfect love. We allow that work to be done on the inside of us, to be forgivers, to be intentional and say, Lord, my forgiveness, my freedom is here. I'm facing love. I'm going to be intentional to forgive. That's what I'm calling, you know, facing love, working through things. That leads to something else. It doesn't just stay there. It leads to this. You go from, you know, facing perfect love to beholding perfect love, and then you begin to see through things. All right? When you go from here to here, you know you're technically carnally minded, and you technically got to look on things above. We need to do that. There's a work there that we got to do. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, but there's still a yoke. There's still something we do. And that's one of the things we do. We're switching. We're looking at that perfect love. But as you're doing that, as you're going in that direction of perfect love, something happens over here. You don't just get a love theology. Something of the Spirit happens over here, where God begins to reveal Himself. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies, I'm just talking about the Jewish people, a veil lies in their heart. Nevertheless, when one of those people turned to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. But we all with unveiled face, beholding is in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. So in other words, when I'm over here by faith, even with so-and-so, I'm still over here by faith. And I'm beholding perfect love. And I'm not, because there's a lot of people that'll talk you out of here. I'm talking Christian people that'll talk you out of here. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that has the ultimate authority in our lives. Not just books about the Word of God that we come back to and that the Spirit draws us back to. There is an open unveiling, a beholding that we begin to experience when we experience His presence and His grace. There is something that begins to happen in our hearts. In other words, as I'm sowing to the Spirit over here, I was sowing to the flesh, now I'm sowing to the Spirit, there's a reaping of the Spirit. There is a reaping of revelation. This is what we talked about before when we kicked it off, before I pray. Always pray to God, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that He may grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the deep, intimate knowledge of Him. That you, that at having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand and hope the hope to which He has called you and how rich His glorious inheritance in the saints. So, in other words, we're getting this revelation of God and our hearts are being flooded with light. We're being able to see that love of God. In other words, we love because He first loved. You get over here and you're walking, and it's like, okay, my love walk just hit a limit. I know what I can do and I know what I can't do. Well, we're praying to know the width and the length and the height and the depth. So what do I got to do? I got to come over here and I'm going to get that love modeled in the presence of God. And I'm going to see something. I'm going to behold something. There's a way that God forgives you thoroughly that causes you to be able to love because you see it. It's a model. There's revelation of something you see that you experience. Here's a couple different ways Jesus put it. He said, when Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in Him, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, the Word, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth that and the truth will free you. You will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. The truth will free you. There's a continuing with it. There's a sticking with it over here. As you stick with it, something is going to happen. You're going to experience something of the Word of God. The person, this is John 14, Jesus said, the person who has my commands and keeps them, Matthew chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 4, is the one who really loves me. You're looking into the face of perfect love. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. We don't have a religion, right? We have a living relationship with the living God. And yeah, there's a work part of this where I'm setting my mind by faith, but it's not just that. That's just part of it. In other words, I'm working through some things so I can see through some things. There's revelation. There's a sowing that brings a reaping. Jesus said, that's dear to the Father's heart. Because when you're looking at those verses and you think, and so-and-so too, and you say, okay, Lord, this might be my Gethsemane, but so-and-so too. And I'm not trying to find it out. I'm not looking for somebody else to throw me a bone to get out of this thing. I'm staying here. I'm looking at perfect love. I want to be changed. And I'm saying, okay, here, Lord, here we go. That's dear to the Father's heart. That's precious to him. There's a manifestation that you experience. Like I said, I had that experience where I had woke up. It was like I woke up in the presence of perfect love. It was like, whoa, praise God. It was like I was so secure. I saw myself being loved by God. Almost like I could see myself being loved by God. You know how somebody could say, maybe somebody might say something to you, do they really mean it, or is it really from the heart? You know, that kind of, it's like he's telling you he loves you, and you know it's from the heart. And it's going into you. And in the moment that you receive the love of God, the fear of man is just out the door. When the Creator and the Maker loves you dearly and completely, there is such a freedom in that. There is such a peace in that. And you see something in that. And when you come out of that, things don't look the same. You know, well, we've got Halloween coming up here next month. And depending on where you live, you might have a little kid come to your door with a mask on, okay? And if that happens, you probably are not going to have to, you know, talk yourself off the wall. That's not really a real monster, right? I mean, there's not going to be a bunch of, you know, self-talk. Okay, it is Halloween. Kids are supposed to come out. It's not real. It's not real, no. You don't even have to do any of that. Why? You're not just seeing a scary mask. You're seeing through the mask. Probably the little G.I. Joe sneakers might be giving it away. And some hair, some tells, okay, as you're looking at it. Yeah, it might be a scary face, but you know better. It doesn't scare you. When you begin to see some things in the Spirit, you begin to see things of God's love, and you begin to forgive by faith, and you experience what His love is like. And then that same old narrative comes knocking at the door for a trick or treat. And you see it again. After you've been here. Do you know what so-and-so and what they think? It's like, you don't look the same. There's some tells. I know what my God sounds like. He doesn't sound like that. Convincing, compelling, arguments. But it's not him. I've beheld him. I've experienced something of his Spirit. And when that comes, it's not just thinking about what's said. Now you're trying the spirit of a thing. And you're saying, that's just not the right spirit. Oh, man. This thing that I was so built up in self-pity in myself, now I'm seeing it's a demon spirit trying to play me. That's all it is. Dang, I've been played for years by this thing. Well, now you see it. You see through stuff. That's not God. What about this? What about this? What about this? I know one thing. That's not God. I have no obligation to it. I'm going back over here. I'm going back into the presence of God. I'm going back to his love. I'm going back to love the way he wants me to love. Am I there yet? Have I arrived? No, I'm growing. I'm being perfected in love. Praise God. The Apostle Paul himself said, I don't count myself to have arrived. One thing I'm doing, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm pressing for the mark, for the prize of the upward perfection call of love in God. That's where my heart is. That's where I'm going. I'm not going to live in the past. I'm going to go forward with my eyes forward, and I'm going to see the freedom that he has for me. I love the Psalm depiction when the Israelites returned from their captivity. It says, when the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dream. It seems so unreal. Then were our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. There's a captivity of fear that could have you for years. And you come out of that captivity, and it is like unreal. You're like those who dream. It's like, wow, I remember this place. I've actually been here before. Good to be back. Good to be back. What am I doing here? Here is where I'm beholding love and I'm seeing through things. I'm working through things so I can see through things. And when you see through things, I love how the message puts it. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you're my disciples for sure, then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. In other words, you just see what you see in your spirit, a picture of the theology you've had for years. You see it. And this is where it's humbling. You don't have to be a Christian for years and years and years and years. All you got to do is very humbly and simply face perfect love. Put your heart out there before God. I don't care if you've been walking with him for a few months or for 20, 30, 40 years. You can experience that place. Because it's just believing that love that's going to cause you to see things. When you see something, that's when it's powerful. That's when it sticks. I've related this in the Wednesday night Bible study, and I don't think any of them got it, but I'll see. Hopefully there might be some of you that can get it. If you're playing a video game, and you're going, and you got all these worlds, right? If you get far enough in the video game, there's like a marker. And when you die, you get to go back to that place. You don't have to start all the way from the beginning. You get to start from there and then go forward. That's what these experiences are like. You might be back in carnal mindedness again, yeah. But nah, you had this experience. I know it's real. I can go back here again. I can go, I've seen something. It's not just that I theologically know it. You start out by faith theologically knowing things. But God has those places to bring you to a place where you see things. And it's intimate between you and God. And that's when what we call breakthroughs happen, is when you begin to see something. And that's what God is doing. He's bringing us to a place where he expels all fear. But we're not doing it by facing fear. We're not being fear-oriented. We're not living in the self-centered world of problem-solving fear any more than we'd do that with the flesh. We're turning to God. I love Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You take those things in prayer to God, and then you set your mind on things that are true and honest and just and pure, lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy. Everything begins to change as we experience the love of God, as we face perfect love. Face him with our prayer requests. Face him in worship. We face him. We're starting here. We're not facing fear. We're facing God. We're facing him, getting what's in our heart out. And then as we do that, as we sow to the Spirit in that way, there is a reaping of the Spirit. There is a beholding of perfect love. Yeah, that thing might come back again, but you can see the mask. You see the little, You see the little thing under the chin when that old narrative comes back. It's like, wow, really? Can't believe I bid on that thing for so long. Wow. Because you saw something. You see something. This is where your personal relationship with Jesus is personal. But I'm telling you, there are places between you and him that you're going to see things, know things, and as you see things, man, it will expel all fear. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word doesn't change. You don't change. Lord, we can come back to your word and it reads the same. 1,000 years from now, it'll read the same. Lord, we're getting on your word, Lord. We're not being conformed to this world, but we're being transformed by a renewing of our mind. We're being made into a whole new person by the way we think. Lord, I just pray this over each one of us this morning. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I am facing you. Perfect love. I thank you that your love is stronger than fear. I can stir up the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love that you've put in my heart. I can set my mind on things above. I can recognize carnal-mindedness and make a decision to break it, to set my mind on things above, to declare your word, to pray, to sow to the Spirit. And as I do that, I will behold you. Revelation of how great your love is. Revelation that unveils the falseness of demonic narratives, that turns the light on and lets me see with perfect clarity what's really true. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet Spirit, that I can judge the spirits and always side with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So just a couple aspects again this morning as we're dealing with fear, we're dealing with stuff. Again, there's a bazillion phobias you can think of, but you know, we're talking about that stuff, that tormenting fear stuff. And when we're getting freedom, when we're getting deliverance from fear, man, it comes as we face perfect love. There's just a perfecting in love. Wow. There's a perfecting in love. And in the perfecting of love, there's a deliverance from fear. And so we trust that. Same way as walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. So God's love expels all fear. Amen. Praise God.